570.
An LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
We continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM570 LA Sports. Later this hour, Dodger fans, you'll get your shot. We'll open the phone lines. Corey Seager gone. Max Scherzer gone. Max Muncy, UCL. Are you panicked? Are you pissed? Or will it
like
all
Fred?
Be okay? I'm saying it'll be okay. I wouldn't panic at all.
Yeah.
I've been less panicked than I have been in a long time. Talk to me June 6th. Might have a different conversation. But right now, I couldn't be any happier. It's all good. Happiest guy in town. Right here. You're listening to
me. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I'm fine. But what about the Lakers? What do you think? Let's bring our insider, Dan Wojcicki. Dan, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Fred. Let's see if we can work you into a panic here in the next 10 minutes. I have a feeling we can.
Okay. Yeah, if there's anything to be panicked about, it is the Lakers. And really, Dan, sure. It's not getting better. LeBron says this is the toughest challenge of his career. Well, of course it is. He's older. He gets hurt. He's never done that in the past.
Well, Fred, but here go. Why are you harping on that? Why are you harping on that so hard?
Also, Fred, he mostly said it tied with, like, all the challenges, too, right? Like, I think... This is a supreme challenge, and I think, you know, LeBron is a lot of things. One of the things he is not is dumb about basketball, especially. And, you know, he sees this team. He knows what they look like. He knows that they can't keep anybody in front of them on defense. He knows that, you know, the changes they were supposed to make were supposed to make them unguardable on offense have not. They're actually... The last I checked, statistically, weirdly, a better defensive team today than they are an offensive team. You know, so, I mean, that all of that stuff is a supreme challenge, right? And to your point,
yeah,
Fred.
Yeah, so why are you surprised?
Two pole vaults.
No, I'm not surprised. Listen.
But you're harping on, like,
because this is
his doing. Panicking? Why aren't you panicking?
I'm
That's
not.
What I want to know. Why aren't you panicking?
I'm not panicked because I don't think this is very good. And this is all he's doing. And he put this all together. And now he's going
he
to
will
the
not
tough
be winning.
Challenge.
Yeah, he will not be winning Executive of the Year, probably.
Right. This is not going to be his award this year. And now you have this. And when
let me ask you, okay, so, hey, LeBron, how challenging has this season been for you so far? LeBron.
Right up there.
This is the most challenging season I've ever been. And you make it sound like he's not answering the question honestly.
No, of his doing. Of his doing. He did this. And Bill,
regardless of who did it, it's still the most challenging. I don't understand why it's such a revelation and a big deal that he said it's challenging.
It's a revelation. Okay, maybe he's acknowledging that this is his doing. And when you have a team that has these leads, Dan, when you have a team that has these leads and they lose these leads, it says to me, yeah, they're good. They're talented. They're a collection of very good players that run out of gas. And that might
That's
be a function of these guys.
I mean, I think that's part of it. I think you also have, I mean, so let's peel back a little bit here too, right? Like, these big leads, by and large, have come against pretty bad competition. And that needs to be, you know, for as plucky as the Pistons have been in these two games, you know, the Pacers, what was the other one we missed? Oh, Sacramento. These are teams that the Lakers should be much better than, right? I think I wrote, on Friday night after that triple overtime debacle, you know, like, the Lakers have four of the top 75 players of all time. The Kings just fired a coach who didn't win 75 games in 2.5 seasons.
Right.
Right. So let's, the moral victories need to be kind of couched in the fact that, like, these, they're not playing good teams. Right. And now maybe these same things would happen if, you know, they were to see the Warriors twice in a week, like Phoenix is this year, they are this week, and maybe we would have some real answers. But the schedule has been both kind and sort of mystifying to the Lakers on that front, right? So I think that's part of it. But to your large point, I mean, I do think that they have flashed better signs of organization We've seen some things that I think should be pretty encouraging. Russell Westbrook has played much better in the last 2 weeks. I think he's looked more comfortable. You know, obviously LeBron James is back, and that's a sign that he's getting, you know, he's healthier. Even though the abdomen thing might be hanging around a little bit, he had some ice on it after the game on Sunday. Then, you know, you've got Talen Horton-Tucker is back. You know, we'll see Trevor Ariza at some point. Who knows on Kendrick Nunn? But like, we're inching towards sort of, you know, a better sense of normalcy with the Lakers, where they can actually start to see if, you know, all of this quote unquote building is going to lead to anything. And I think, you know, I think they're a better team than they've shown. The question I still think is like, you know, I mean, like this wasn't put together to be a good team. This was put together to win a title,
right?
And you know, are they of that caliber? You know, I mean, it's hard to say yes, they are when, for me, you know, the best 10 minutes I've seen him play were a 16-0 run against the Detroit Pistons. Like, it's hard for me to say, you know, by God, they're a contender.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's tough.
Yeah, and the hard part is really seeing. I mean, you mentioned all the guys, and they're going to get back and get Trevor Ariza back, and Taylor Horton-Tucker is just kind of working himself back in.
No guarantee that they won't lose anybody along the way, though, either, too, Rob, yeah. Right? I mean, like,
no, that's what I'm saying.
That's the part of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, they're going to get these guys back, but does that mean all of a sudden they turn the corner and it becomes better than what it's been?
You know, I mean, I think, like, we can spend, and we do this with the Lakers all the time, right? Like, you know, we spend a lot of time and energy talking about, you know, Avery Bradley or how Wayne Ellington looks or Talen Horton-Tucker or Malik Monk and stuff. But like, really, like sort of the bread is buttered here, right? With LeBron James, is he healthy? How is he playing? What are his intensity levels? Is he happy? Like, he's, you know, the most important person on the team because he's the one who can get them furthest. And I think so, like, you know, and then we're closely behind are Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. So like, I think, you know, focusing energy on those three, seeing how they're playing, seeing kind of how comfortable they look, is probably what I'm looking at most, with sort of the kind of shrug of my shoulders that, you know, those guys are good enough that they'll figure out the other problems eventually. That's not to say there aren't other problems, because there are. But, you know, I felt that way. I mean, I remember talking to you guys two seasons ago about the Lakers and feeling kind of like, well, you know, they don't have enough shooting. It's so obvious they don't have enough shooting. They went to the bubble, they got hot for a month, and they won a title.
Dan Wojcicki with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570 LA Sports. You're hearing more people say, well, it's Frank Vogel. I mean, he's got to do something.
Yep.
What do you think of the way Frank Vogel's coaching?
I mean, I think like there are some easy points of criticism. I mentioned Avery Bradley earlier, you know, and I know why Frank Vogel is starting Avery Bradley, and it's because it, like, Avery Bradley tries to play hard on defense, and there's value, I think, in having a guy who will like kind of get into your jersey a little bit and try to make things uncomfortable for you. Statistically, like, those minutes have been really bad, like really generally really, really bad. I think he is the worst plus minus rating on the team. But you know, Frank Vogel thinks that there's value in that. So like, is that something that, you know, could maybe be addressed? Sure. I mean, you could look at Talen Horton-Tucker on that spot. Maybe we run it back with Kent Bazemore, you know, or Wayne Ellington. Like, these are all options, but like, to me, I still, when I watch the Lakers, I still view it as more of a construction issue than I do as a coaching issue. I don't say Frank Vogel should be totally absolved for all of this, but I mean, I think one of the big miscalculations this offseason, right, is that Frank Vogel is not just a defensive sort of mastermind, but he's a magician. That he can take players like Carmelo Anthony, who have high basketball IQs, and sort of lead in their shoes, and ooh, good line. Should write that down for
yeah,
later.
Solid.
It rhymes, yeah, too. I don't know if you guys picked it. Yeah. You know, that he could take those guys and turn them into good defenders all of a sudden. You know, and I like the fact that they're itching towards the average right now based on how bad it's looked at times, I think is a credit to Frank Vogel. It is a credit to that type of stuff. But, you know, when you win a title, you set the bar high. I think that's part of it. And I think the second part of it is, like, can't fire the players. generally speaking. You know what I mean? And that if a team is underperforming, and you're the executive of that team, you're not going to fire yourself. So, you know, if consequences have to come, like, it'll probably be on the bench. It's not like they can make some big trades. It's like they don't really have the ammunition to do anything.
No, they don't. And it is what it is, as Fred liked to say. You got them. Now you got them. Mm-hmm. Now you got to deal with them. Are you surprised at all about the way Golden State has played so far?
A little. I think I would say that maybe the last month of the season last year, Rodney, it seemed like they kind of settled into their old style of play, you know, and I think they did some things this offseason that were really smart. But look, I mean, they've just got, you know, they've got one of the most dynamic players of all time in Stephen Curry, one of the most dynamic defenders of all time in Draymond Green. Both are in great shape and playing terrifically. Andrew Wiggins has taken a big step, you know, and seems like he's sort of fulfilling, you know, the promise that made him the number one overall pick, is kind of a guy who, you know, can be a factor on defense, but is also a tremendous athlete. He's become, a better shooter, a more willing shooter. Jordan Poole. And you know, you've got Klay Thompson kind of waiting in the wings. They are playing their style of basketball. If there's a thing I take away too from this, is, you know, we talked about coaching, is that Steve Kerr is a really good coach too, you know, and he kind of always was sort of somebody who, you know, the critics would say basically flip the autopilot switch, you know, and could roll the ball out there and just like figure it out. But I think they've recaptured some of that defensive first style and you know, paired that with the offensive freedom that made them so successful in Steve's first year in Golden State. Am I surprised? Yeah, I didn't think they'd be the best team in the Western Conference. But I think that, you take a step backwards from it and you're like, well, you know. And what's interesting, guys, with them, and I don't know that they'll do it, but, like, they have the chips. We talked about how the Lakers don't have the chips to do anything drastic. The Warriors absolutely do. You know, they have three lottery picks from the last two seasons. They've got a big contract in Wiggins. You know, they could really get into a conversation for virtually any superstar in the league. And so I'll be very interested to see if they decide to kind of push the foot to the gas pedal. I'm not hearing that right now. But if they decide to push the foot to the gas pedal and go get somebody who's, you know, who elevates their talent level even higher, gives them an even better big three, a big four, maybe as good as they had before with Durant.
Hey, Dan, I was just thinking while you were talking about the Warriors, one question and other question about the Lakers real quick. Kendrick Nunn, yeah. When is he back?
Yeah, it's not looking good right now, Fred, right? That's not to say it's a forever thing. But, you know, bone bruise injuries, particularly bone bruise and the knee injuries, can linger, and they can linger for a very long time. You know, we haven't heard anything that resembles a timetable yet, other than a ways away, you know, and so I haven't seen him on the court in my limited games back. You know, you see him on the bench and stuff like that, but certainly a player that would help the Lakers, certainly a player that would give Frank Vogel another option, you know, with late game lineups and stuff like that. It to me is, though, sort of why always the, you know, let's see what it happens when we get whole kind of argument has already rang a little hollow, in the sense is that, you know, like, yeah, do Trevor Ariza and Kendrick Nunn give you more defensive versatility than you currently have? They do. They are two players. I'm not sure that they unlock the Lakers defense the way that the Lakers are hoping. We'll see what happens with Ariza. Those are the words that kind of Frank Vogel used the other day, that he is sort of the key to how they're going to play small with Anthony Davis at center. We'll see if they can count on an older player in Trevor Ariza to be that important. I know they would have really liked to have Kendrick Nunn, maybe their best on-the-ball defender at point of attack, certainly in their backcourt. Doesn't seem like he's going to be back before Christmas, certainly. I haven't gotten any indication it'll be soon.
You know, one final question to wrap it up, and that would be this, and I've said this to Rodney and to Kevin. You know, if this thing goes south, and again, they're built to win now. There's no, well, we'll get them next year. They got to win now. And if this thing continues to kind of teeter along and there's a point where you go, God, this may not work, doesn't somebody have to get it at that point? Don't they have to do something? And that somebody, and I don't think that somebody should be Frank Vogel, but he's the only guy. I mean, it seems to me there will come that point of no return where they go, we got a problem, we got to do something. And they can't really do anything with a roster.
Yeah, unless you start winning games, right? Like your options for change are fairly limited, right? You can change some things in terms of rotations. Maybe there's a move to be made on the margins. Maybe there's a player to be acquired via buyout or something like that. You know, I mean, if you really, really, really get desperate, like maybe you decide to trade Talen Horton-Tucker as part of some package. I don't think the Lakers will do that. They kind of planted their flag there this offseason. But you don't have a lot of options, which is sort of why, you know, the arrows point towards Frank Vogel, even if he deserves him or not. You know, it's just sort of like, what else can you do? And generally speaking, like, I don't think not having any other options is a good reason to fire a coach. You know what I mean? It's like, we got to blame somebody, so let's find somebody. I don't necessarily think that's the answer, especially when you're talking about things like continuity and a lack of continuity. But it is a business in which one of the few things that are guaranteed as an NBA coach is that at some point or another you're going to get that phone call, and whether you expect it or not, you know, no one takes a head coaching job because they think they're going to be in that position forever.
All right, Dan, appreciate the info. Thanks for jumping on
Thanks, guys. Have a very happy holiday. Hey, Rodney, I'll be on the lookout for your wife in Evergreen. I'm very excited for this time of year for the Pete family manor.
Yes, Christmas.
Build the addition to the house celebration. That's where I always view this is like you the hot tub by the pool and stuff like that because of the Hallmark money comes rolling in.
Right. She's got one coming out this Saturday, Dan Wojcicki on Hallmark Channel. Check it out.
I'm very excited. I'm going to guess it ends with not that steamy of a kiss. Fingers crossed. That's my guess of how it's going to end.
It's going to end with a kiss, but...
Just a kiss. And it's going to be very platonic and the spirit of the holiday.
The Hallmark way.
That's right.
All right, Dan, thanks.
All right, guys, be good.
All right, so, Rodney, in this one, what happens? She's in town... And an old friend comes back. I mean, what is the this one? Because that's what they always are, right? Somebody's in town, then an old friend comes back, and they look at each other, avoid each other at first, then find out that they have things in common. And
no, this is a special one, Fred. This is a special one. This one's called Our Christmas Journey, and it is the first of its kind where the central character, other than Holly, is a young man with autism.
Oh, really?
And so yeah. So it's really a big deal. She helped produce it. She's the executive producer on it. It's been something she's wanted to do and introduce to the Hallmark Christmas movies for a while, and finally got the green light to do it. So it's going to be an impactful one.
Saturday at
Our Christmas Journey. Saturday, 10:00, Hallmark Channel. Hallmark Movies and Mysteries.
All right. Well, check it out, because, you know, around the holidays, honest to God.
Yes.
Hallmark is always on.
Oh, they kill it. And they kill it. They own the holidays, yeah.
And they've got a new movie like every week.
Every week. Well, three times a week. They got everybody. Everybody does a movie in Hallmark in December, and they roll them out, man.
All right.
They do a great job.
Saturday at 10.
Yes.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports. When I'm working with, so they can't tell me
nothing. Let's go. It is Tuesdays, a given Tuesday. Rodney Pete. Fred Rogan. Loving it. Let it flow.
Okay, Rodney, we're going to open the phone lines now for Dodger fans. We just talked about the Lakers with Dan Wojcicki.
Yep.
Let's get back to the Dodgers. The loss of Corey Seager yesterday. A lot of people were upset about that. You were one of them. You wanted him to stay.
I love my man Corey Seager.
I know.
Yeah. I'm. I was upset about it. I think he was. He was the glue for that championship run, and when he's my guy that I think is still got a ways to go to continue to get better.
Well, I know how you feel about it, and I think it's sad. That's why you don't fall in love with guys. You fall in like with guys because it's a business, and the Dodgers have an all-star shortstop ready to go in Trey Turner. They will be fine. My position here is, all right, there's work to be done. You don't blow everything up. Not everything is falling apart and crumbling here. They're fine. They're still one of the best teams in baseball.
Yes.
Just a little speed bump as they try to figure out what direction they're going to go in. 866-987-2570. So Dodger fans, given what happened, Max Scherzer gone too. Are you panicked? Are you pissed? Or is it all going to be okay? Julian Silverlake, what do you think?
Hey, Fred. Hey, Rodney. Good to talk to you again. You know what? I'm disappointed he's not coming back, but I have faith in Dave Roberts. I have faith in Andrew Friedman. I have faith in the Guggenheim group. Everything is going to be good. We're still a great team, like you said, Fred, and I'm looking forward to 2022 and making another run at the World Series Championship. It's going to be good.
There you go. Julie, appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Glass full.
Not always. Even half full.
Yeah, full.
Not always. Even half full. Full.
Yeah, okay. Always.
Listening on the app in Santa Barbara, John, what do you think?
Yes, Fred. I am in full panic. Full panic. You've lost Max Scherzer. Now we just learned from Vasse, we got one arm Max Muncy. We're about to see Kershaw leave. And when Kershaw leaves and Scherzer leaves, it's Dave Roberts' fault.
Okay, John. All right. Thank you, John. No, you cannot blame Dave Roberts. It's the off season. It's the off season. We've got to have one guy call and go, well, you know, I'll tell you whose fault this is.
Of course.
It's Dave Roberts. It's Dave Roberts' fault. It's not Dave Roberts' fault. Okay, panicked, pissed, or it's all going to be okay. Manuel and Gardena, go ahead.
Oh, Freddie, man, you were tickling me with that little holiday review of the Hallmark. You were pretty spot on. I got to give it to you.
Thank you.
Rodney, congratulations on Lincoln Riley. Let's see, man. Hopefully he can restore it. As far as the Dodgers, it's all good in the hood. This guy who just called, we obviously know he doesn't know too much. He's blaming Dave Roberts for free agent acquisitions and such. But yeah, I'll tell you what, man. Corey Seager does hurt. But I don't know, man. I think the price range is just out of whack. And as far as Scherzer, he lost me when he didn't step up for that Game 6 start. Because Valenzuela, Hershiser, Koufax, are you telling me those guys would have said, oh, no, my elbow, I got to think long term. Man, GTFOH with that, bye-bye.
Thanks, Manny. Appreciate
it. Did you get that,
call.
Fred? GTFOH?
Yeah. I got it.
You got it?
I understood what he was saying.
Okay, just checking.
No, I got it. Let's go Angelo in Temple. Angelo in Temple City. Go ahead.
The Dean and Rodney, you guys are great.
Appreciate
love you guys.
You.
Hear you guys every day. Just same point, but two different aspects. Everyone understands and remembers Adrian Beltre. His last year with the Dodgers was his greatest year. He was up for a contract, and the Dodgers lost off from Seattle for $6 million. Scott Boras singing about himself. Adrian Beltre, him and his wife just had a child living in Arcadia. Adrian Beltre went to Seattle, didn't win anything, missed his first 3 or 4 years without seeing his newborn child. Now here you got Seager. They just moved to Manhattan Beach. The wife loves Manhattan Beach. Texas is not going to win anything. We all know that. Why didn't the Dodgers just offer him, say, let's put Scott Boras off the side. Seager, do you want to be the highest paid player? We'll give you $39 million a year, 5-year contract. If after 3 years you don't like what we're doing, you opt out. You're going to be 29, maybe 30. You still have the opportunity to get a max contract again.
Angelo,
I just feel
okay.
The Dodgers should have done something better than that.
No, hang tight. Because first, we don't really know what they offered. We have no idea. right? I mean, let's just be honest. We don't know. Maybe they offered that. We don't know what they offered. We do know in spring training, because David Vasse told us yesterday that they offered him 8 years, $250 million, and they said no. Now, there's a point where even whatever they offer might not be what another offer is. You go to Texas, there's no state tax. Granted, your property taxes are higher, but I got to tell you, if you're making $30 million a year, your property tax is not going to be 50% of that. So you're going to make money living in a state with no state taxes. And to be honest, I would think Scott Boras would figure that in. And
I hear you.
Okay, and I would also think, and I would also think, to be fair, that when they're negotiating with the Dodgers, they're looking at total compensation. If you play here, it costs you more to live here. Okay? You're going to have to pay us more because we can make this in Texas. We don't know what the Dodgers offered him. We don't. But we do know this. They now have an all-star shortstop ready to play shortstop. And you don't find that very often. You just don't. Shortstop position is going to be fine. They have Trey Turner. He's an all-star and the National League batting champ. I know he doesn't hit in the playoffs. We'll worry about the playoffs when we get there. But I think they're just fine. I do.
And I do too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also do.
Yeah.
But if you ask Rodney, all professional players, they play to win a championship,
yep,
not just to play and get paid big, big money. And at him playing for Texas, dollars to donuts. He's not winning any championships while he's there.
We're not talking, you know, we're not talking $315 million versus $325 million. We're talking almost a difference of $100 million. Him going to Texas.
Yeah.
So yes, and don't forget, yes, he got his championship already. I don't know if maybe he has a second thought if the Dodgers don't win a couple years ago and he doesn't get the ring and he's not MVP, but he got that. So at some point, yes, it is a business. Unfortunately, I know a lot of fans don't want to hear it, but it is a business. Had it been close. The Dodgers said, okay, we'll give you 10 years, 320, or 10 years, 315.
He probably stays.
He probably stays.
Yeah.
But not when you're talking, $7,500 million difference. I can't. Even to my son, I would say, no, you got to go to Texas.
Angelo, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Is it Elena in Oceanside?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, all right. I'm going to get right to the point. So we couldn't afford Seager's contract. There's no way we can afford something like that. Scherzer was going to walk. He's too expensive as well. So I'm okay. I'm sorry to see Seager go. Hometown guy. He's been with us forever. But that's okay. We slide Trey Turner over. We have Lux at second. Hopefully Muncy's going to be back full strength. If not, you have to sign Taylor. Yep. Taylor is you got to sign him. He's a clutch guy. He grinds out at bats, and that's why he's so clutch. He can play everywhere. Let's say something with Muncy's not right. You can put Belly at first, and you have a great center fielder with Chris Taylor. It's, so you're strong. So that's the one sign that we have to have, and I think we're going to be fine. We're always going to be fine.
Elena, thanks for the call.
I like it. And she's spot on.
Yes, she is. Because
by losing Corey Seager, it makes – the Chris Taylor situation vital for them. And I think we got to stop looking at him, and I'm in his corner too. You know how we feel about Chris Taylor as well. He's a family favorite over here at the Pete House, but he is, you got to stop looking at him as a utility player or, a rotation. He's an everyday player. He just happens to play different positions, but he's an everyday player. And I think you got to stop, limiting him or really trying to devalue him because he plays multiple positions. He's as valuable as any guy on that team.
Yeah, see, that's the problem.
Yep.
In the old days, in the old world, oh, we got this guy on a bench and we can plug him in here or there and he's going to be able to spot somebody a day of rest.
Right.
No, you have a guy that can play every day.
Yeah.
Who does, anywhere,
pretty much.
Yeah, who can play anywhere in the field. It's nuanced, but there is a difference. And, we've said this for a while, and you and I are exactly in agreement. That's a guy you want to hold on to.
Yeah.
Now, analytically, I don't know. I don't know what the analytics say and everything they look at and the metrics. But from the eye test, That's a guy you need.
Yeah.
Desperately. A guy that can play anywhere and every day. He's like three guys.
Yeah, exactly. You're getting three for the price of one.
Yeah. Let's go. Eric and La Mirada. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Rodney, I'm definitely going to check out Saturday night.
Yes.
Hallmark. Yes. We need more representation on that channel.
Right on.
I'm totally... Yes, that's all right. I'm totally fine with Corey Seager going. I mean, he is hurt a lot. You know, we can't forget about that. Yes, he did come in, you know, that one World Series, which is great. But in actuality, he's been here for a while, and he hasn't really played a full season's back-to-back-to-back like we need him over that seven-year run. And as far as Scherzer is concerned, we kind of already knew he was a rental. And, you know, if he was on the team and we won 107-odd games, I think he would have ran out of gas a lot sooner.
Fair point.
What do you guys think about that?
Yep. Fair point.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Yeah, yeah, I can sign off on that. Eric, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And let's see. That's it. Okay.
Yeah, and you don't know when, you know, guys, you know, with age, that's a tough thing. You don't know when the guy's going to, when that father time's going to hit you hard, you know? And I didn't, you know, I'm sure Max Scherzer didn't know it was going to hit him. And maybe it was just a little, you know, bump in the road with the dead arm, but it could also be father time catching up with him, as we see with a lot of guys.
Bringing you LA's best sports talk weekdays, noon to 3.
Rogan and Rodney.
It's the vibe, baby. Here we go, vibe. From the top, the vibe, baby. Set it up, vibe. Keep it moving, vibe, baby. Here we go,
let's keep it going, Freddie. Let's keep it going, Rodney Pete. Fred Rogan on a fabulous Tuesday, a giving Tuesday.
It is. And, you know, this is our season of giving here at the radio station. Any donation made today will be matched for a double donation to raise money for our veterans and families in Los Angeles. With the season of giving, we now want to serve up 20,000 holiday ham meals and deliver 100 Christmas trees. So we need your help. And one man that wants to help is Sean Meakey. And, Sean, thanks for jumping on real quickly here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay. Sean, let's start with this. You heard that AM 570 LA Sports had been raising money for Dream Center the past several years, and you have also donated to Dream Center LA for the past several years, right? You heard about our matching campaign, which is going on today.
Correct.
And then you decided to take some action, huh?
Well, I visited the Dream Center 3 years ago, guys, and, you know, it changed my life. It changed the trajectory of the company. I heard what you guys were doing. And I said to myself, you know, I want to, whatever y'all are doing, I want to match, you know, and I want Family First Life, the company that we're blessed enough to be part of, to be able to match whatever y'all come up with today up to 40 grand.
Well, that's fantastic, Sean. Family First, you've helped millions of families this year alone, haven't you? And you're on track to issue pay over $600 million in premium for 2021. Is that right?
That is correct, sir.
Wow. How did the company start?
8 years ago, I got in this business. I was a social worker for years, and that's what I always wanted to do. And my mom raised us working three jobs, me and my brother. And I wanted to help people out and do something better. I found life insurance, and we launched Family First Life 8 years ago. We thought we had an idea to do it better. And now we got about 17,000 agents across the country helping middle American families everywhere that don't have any life insurance or don't have enough to make sure that when they are in a time of need, that the family will be taken care of. So it's been a phenomenal 8 years, and we look forward to many more.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal what you're doing. How has it been, or how was it during the pandemic year? Obviously, 2020 was tough on everybody. How did you see it in your world as you deal directly with some of the families out there?
Well, we saw, I mean, you know, guys, I never saw more people looking for an opportunity. So we provide a lot of life insurance. We also hire a lot of people to work with us, whether they have experience or not. And when the whole pandemic hit, you know, what was odd for us, I said a lot of people would work with us, said, guys, life insurance isn't an extra. It's a necessity. And the majority of the states, you know, kind of, they said the same thing to us. They said, you guys are essential. You need to get out there and keep working with families. So, you know, we got real creative and did what we needed to do to be socially responsible to help people out. But, you know, in a time where everybody was thinking about the mortality and everybody was thinking about what might happen to them, then on top of it, a lot of people are thinking about how in the world can I support my family? So And you know, when I met Pastor Matthew, looked at what they were doing for veterans, what they were doing for children, what they were doing for homeless folks, we fell in love with the program. And I say this, and I don't preach to anybody. Pastor Matthew can do the preaching. I'm not qualified to do any of that. I'm just trying to get better every day. But I do know that ever since we got involved in the Dream Center, when you look at the growth of our company, you know, there's a lot of Ivy League schools I could have gone to. I mean, I wouldn't have gotten it. I don't mean that. I don't think I could have gotten the education and the experience that I've gotten with our relationship with the Dream Center had I gotten 3 MBAs from 3 different schools. We just fell in love with them, their purpose, their heart, and their relationship with the Lord, and it changed our life.
All right, well, the season of giving, 7,500 Thanksgiving meals already served by the Dream Center, by veterans and volunteers. Next up, the goals, 100 Christmas trees delivered by veterans and volunteers. Right now, they've raised enough money for 30 trees. 20,000 ham holiday meals, and that'll be served by veterans and volunteers at Dream Center LA. Right now, they've only raised enough money to serve around 8,000 meals. Now, Sean, what exactly are you donating?
So we're going to donate through the course of the entire year. We're going to donate $1 million to Dream Center.
Oh my God!
That was our commitment. That was our commitment in January. Yeah, that was our commitment. Yes, sir. That was our commitment. Last year we'd raise $1 million. We are well on our way, and we're at probably 700 and change that we've already donated. But when we heard your campaign, we're like, hell, we can do better. Let's match whatever your listeners put up as well, and we'll keep doing it. We giving to me is the way to where is the path and the light to where you need to get to. So, you know, for us last year we sponsored their Winter Wonderland event. I think that was, you know, to be really honest with you, Pastor Matthew asked me a couple of years ago, will you sponsor the winter event? It's this, the Dodgers, I think a couple of guys there were doing the give back backpack event. This was years ago. The company was just getting rolling. I said, I'll match whatever. I think it was Justin Turner and Kershaw. I said, I'll match whatever they put up for the back to school event. Well, when he told me how much they put up, I went, darn, that's a lot of money. You know, that's a 6-figure donation, but we committed to it. And the reality was, it was a big turning point for us as I think as people, but as a company, because we made the commitment. So we stood by it. And our goal is to try to double that every year. So we're going to come in through $1 million this year, and through what you're doing with your listeners. I think that my mom used to say, when you give and it hurts, it works. And that worked for us. So that's our goal. That's what we're going to do throughout 2021. We'll sponsor the Christmas event. If you've not been to it, you should go check out what they do with the kids coming in and getting the presents and their bikes and the tears they have and the families and the food. And that just it my daughter and I brought my kids a few years back. They got in the buses and went and picked up the kids that couldn't get there. And that just it's a life-changing event. So that's our commitment throughout the year.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. What an incredible commitment. Thank you for the time, and thank you for your contribution, and you have a great holiday.
Guys, thank you very much. Have an outstanding day.